الله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. This week we celebrated the birth anniversary of Bibi Zainab صلوات الله عليها. And I want to take this opportunity in today's khutbah to talk about one of the issues as far as the women are concerned. But the first khutbah would be more about the importance of the role of women in the society. Women are not only half of the population of the human society, they also are mothers of the next generation. And that is a very important, you know, status and responsibility that they have. And they play a very important role in the development of the society as far as the new generation is concerned. Of course, in a family setting, when we look at the dynamics between husband and wife, you know, they have to be on the same page. If they are not on the same page, things don't work as far as the values are concerned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ayat, in different wordings, talks about this, especially in Surah An-Nur, ayat number 26. This is a section where he talks about the public, you know, defamation of women, to accuse women falsely of being unchaste. And then at the end, you know, he ends with the words where he says, الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات, as if giving us this idea that there has to be a synchronization between the partners. They should be on the same page. Where he says, you know, the unchaste women are for the unchaste men, and the unchaste men are for the unchaste women, and the chaste men are for the chaste women for chaste men, and chaste men are for chaste women. And then he, you know, the context which was there before, he says that these people, the good ones, are free from the lie that the evil ones ascribe towards them. And he ends by saying that they will have مَغْفُرَةً وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ, they will have forgiveness and honorable sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has been also used in different, you know, wordings in other ayat of Quran. And this shows that compatibility of faith and values is very essential. This is not a hukm shar'i that a khabees must marry a khabeesa. You know, he's just talking about the realities. You know, people have to be on the same page. Otherwise, things don't work. And this is also, we see, for example, in the another ayat from the same surah, Surah An-Nur, an ayat which is very commonly recited in the marriage khutbah. Although the grooms never listened to what is being said, but you know, the ayat which is recited commonly, which actually comes from the example of the ninth imam when he recited his own khutbah there, and the ayat is, وَأَنْكِحُوا, the command is to the parents and the guardians and the elders. وَعَنْكِهُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ وَإِمَائِكُمْ. Here also you see that it's talking about al-ayama, not ayama. Ayam would be days. Ayama, you know, that's from yom. This is from aim, which means the single ones. That get the single ones among you married. But the, which ones? Was-salihin, those who are good ones, righteous ones. So this issue of, you know, looking for righteousness in marriage relationship is very important. It is more important than wealth, because the ayat goes on to say, "In yakunu fuqara," if even if they are poor, but if they are salih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in the Quran, "Yughnihum Allah min fadlih." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them free from need, you know, out of His grace. Wallahu wasi'un alim. And so, you know, in one of the hadith that we have from the imams about it, that if there is a young man and a woman who have problem with marriage because of poverty, they are actually not believing in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have that trust in Allah's promise, it shouldn't be a barrier to marriage. And so when we look at even the example of Zainab salawatullah alayha, when she reached to the age of marriage, you know, one of the proposals which came was from Ash'as bin Qais, a leader of the tribe of Kinda, who was chief of the tribe, so already social status is there, a wealthy person, affluent person. And he came to Amir al-Mu'mineen with the proposal for Bibi Zainab. And at that time, Amir al-Mu'mineen immediately, you know, rejected that proposal because of the negative background regarding this person. After the demise of the Prophet, this person became murtad. And when the Muslims went after him and his tribe, when they surrounded them, they kind of gave in. You know, he came and repented, and the first Khalifa accepted his repentance. Not only that, he gave his sister in marriage to this fellow. So that was the background. You know, after Rasulullah, those who became murtad, one of them was Ash'as bin Qais. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen immediately, you know, not only rejected that, actually rebuked him for even his audacity to come and put this proposal to his family. And this is where we see that, you know, when the proposal of Abdullah came, who was actually raised by Amir al-Mu'mineen after the shahadat of his father Ja'far bin Abi Talib, you know, this is where compatibility comes in, and she was married to her first cousin, Abdullah bin Ja'far. And so when we talk about this issue of compatibility, it becomes very important because it might not, you know, become relevant all the time, but at the time of test and trial, when people have challenges in life, when they go through tribulations of different kinds, that's where the real, you know, worth of a person comes up. In case of Zainab, we see that when Imam Hussain alayhi salam decided, you know, to start his journey from Medina to Mecca as a first step in opposing the demand of Yazid to pledge allegiance to him, we see that Zainab decided to go with not only her brother, but also her imam. And in this journey and traveling, you know, there must have been synchronization and understanding between husband and wife. She wouldn't have left the house and gone with Imam Hussain alayhi salam without the agreement or consent of Abdullah bin Ja'far. Not only that, we see that, you know, then when Abdullah bin Ja'far found out while he was still in Medina, a few months after that, so we're talking about Rajab, and then we come to Zulhijjah, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has decided to now leave Mecca and go towards Iraq, Abdullah bin Ja'far takes his two sons. Zainab had not gone with her sons from Medina. This is where now Abdullah bin Ja'far takes her two sons, Aun and Muhammad, to Mecca. He initially tried in his own level, you know, to try to get some security for Imam in Mecca. But when Imam said that I don't want my blood to be spilled while I'm doing tawaf by the assassins who will come in form of pilgrims, I don't want to violate the sanctity of the haram of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where Abdullah bin Ja'far then leaves his two sons with Imam. And later on he says, I'm proud that my two sons sacrificed their lives for the cause of Hussein on my behalf. And so this is where we are talking about, you know, compatibility of values between the husband and wife. This becomes more important when things are not always, you know, easy and normal in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the reality of these challenges that everyone goes through once or twice in their life. Salawat wa rahmatullah. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوب وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة عوصوك عباد الله بطوبة ما صلف من ذنوبكم. Continuing with this theme about women, you know, there was a report recently by one of the Muslim organizations which deals with, you know, crisis situation for Muslims, especially in the GTA area, about a sad incident which took place in the GTA where a Muslim woman lost her life because of domestic violence. When we talk about domestic violence, especially when we are talking about husband and wife relationship, let me make it very clear from, you know, right in the beginning that this is not just a problem of Muslims. This is across the board. In all societies, all races, all religions, these issues are there. However, that doesn't mean we deny the reality that even Muslims, you know, have that problem. If you look at of course, the only difference is that when it comes to the media, you know, when others do the same thing, it is considered to be, you know, domestic violence, individuals did that. When a Muslim does that, immediately Islam is blamed for that. Whereas, you know, majority of those who commit these kinds of crimes, they do not even know the ayat of Quran anyway. But that's another story. But as far as the overall problem of domestic violence is concerned, according to the latest statistics that we have from Statistics Canada, this is numbers of 2021, the incidence of family violence reported to the police has increased in the last 5 years. Every year it goes up and up. You know, and of course, in this violence, it's not only one gender or one member of the family who is affected by it, but the majority of them, two-thirds of them are actually women and children who become victim of domestic violence. Approximately every 6 days, a woman in Canada is killed by her partner. And this is an ongoing thing across the world, across our country. And on any given day in Canada, 3,000 women with 2,500 children with them are living in one or another emergency shelter, you know, to run away from domestic violence. And so these are the numbers that we see that as far as, you know, domestic violence is concerned. And Muslims are not immune from it. It's not just a Canadian problem or kuffar. No, this is, as I said, it touches all communities, all faiths, and all nationalities. Quran talks about it. You know, Quran doesn't shy away from talking about these difficult topics. If you look at Surah Tahrim, Surah number 66, you will see almost two-thirds, if not half of it, talks about examples of the prophets who went through challenges in their own lives. Beginning with our own prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You know, sometimes people say, oh, yeah, mashallah, Rasulullah had 9 wives. Well, multiply the problems also, you know. Remember, it's not only number of wives that Allah has to talk about it in the Quran. You know, right in the beginning, he talks about two of his wives. And they were the prominent ones. You know, the challenge that he had and the difficulty. Then you look at the example of Prophet Lut, Prophet Nuh. And these are the examples mentioned in the Quran. So we are not being polemicist here, you know, nothing to do with sectarianism. And these are the realities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the example of the prophets. But the important thing is that in all these 4 examples of our prophet dealing with these 2 wives, and Prophet Nuh and Prophet Lut, you know, you don't see anywhere, not only in the Quran, but even in the narrations and history related to these incidents, that the prophets would have raised their hands on their wives. Yes, they became angry, they became upset, they even moved away from them, but there was no issue of raising their hands. You know, violence was not used to deal with the husband and wife issues and problems. And so there are 2 things, actually. Either you look at the sabr and patience of these anbiya and follow their example, and if you cannot handle that, the option of talaq is always there. Move away. You know, this issue of saying that, no, you know, you use your power, of course, it's not always husband against wives. I'm told that even sometimes it is the other way around. And that's a reality also, although numbers would be different. Even according to the doctors, you know, they say there are studies about it. Even the men who become victim in this kind of situation would shy away from even reporting. So even the numbers will not always be reflecting the reality which is there in the society because of shame or whatever reason. But predominantly it is the men who, you know, oppress the women in this kind of situation. So sabr and patience is the main thing. Maybe that's your trial and tribulation that you have to go through. That is your imtihan and ibtila that you have to go through. You know, and this is where we see that even the Prophet, when he summarized the values of Islam and the teachings of Islam in his last khutbah, In Ghadir, one of the things he says, أيها الناس, he singles out the issues of women also. إن لنسائكم عليكم حقا ولكم عليهن حقا. He says, you know, these rights between husband and wives are mutual. The husbands have rights on the women, and the women also have rights on their husbands. And then he goes into some description of that. At the end, he says, remember, أخذتموهن بأمانة الله. The first thing, remember that when you marry a woman, you are taking her as an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is the perspective, then things would change about the relationship and how the husband would deal with the wife. Number two, استحللتم فجورهن بكتاب الله. It is on the basis of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have become halal for you. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Therefore, fear Allah's displeasure when it comes to the issue of women. They are in your hand as an amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me end with a couple of ahadiths on this theme from the Prophet, where he says, أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He says, the closest of you who will be with me in my proximity on the day of Qiyamah, أَحْسَنُكُمْ خُلْقًا, somebody who will be the best in their akhlaq and behavior, وَخَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, and the best among you is the one who is good with his family. In another hadith, it says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرٌ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. You know, the best among them, among you are those who are best with their own families. وَعَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. And I am the best among you as far as my family is concerned. This is where we see the example of the sabr of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما حيا أسار البدء وتغيان هادم أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق. صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وسحل مخرجه واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.